Coming up on this episode,
there is an explosive Thanksgiving scene when Sola returns to the family dinner.
Kind of ghost from our past is here at Thanksgiving.
So there's questions here about Black identity.
Certainly Black identity, not Black identity, but Black identities.
Right.
This podcast from Georgia Public Broadcasting highlights books with Georgia connections. Hosted by your two favorite public radio book nerds who also happen to be your hosts of All Things Considered on GPB Radio. I'm Peter Biello.
And I'm Orlando Montoya. Thanks for joining us as we introduce you to authors, their writings, and the insights behind their stories, mixed with our own ideas and thoughts about just what gives these works the narrative edge.
All right, Orlando, tell me about your latest pick for the podcast.
Well, today I've got a messy family drama, a work of fiction. And before we begin, I'd like to ask you, what's the messiest family drama in real life that you'd be comfortable talking about on the podcast?
Ooh, so my family drama. Okay. You know, it's not the juiciest thing because it's still kind of shrouded in mystery. But so my great aunt, I think that's how you would say it, right? My father's aunt, my grandmother's sister. Anyway, my grandmother has two sisters and these two, one, they don't talk to each other. And apparently it's about a fight over a coat. That occurred like in the 1940s or 50s or something like that. Like that's how long they went. Like like one of these aunts is like 98. She's still alive. The other's dead. Well, and they didn't talk for most of their lives because of whatever this fight was.
Well, nobody talks about my maternal grandfather, my mother's father. I have no idea what his name is. Nobody's ever talked about him. And so I just think that's a drama waiting to be explored.
There's something there.
But the reason we're talking about this is because we have a family drama at the center of today's book. It's a family train wreck that is the Lange family of Chicago. That's the fictional family at the center of Atlanta writer Tolani Akinola's new book called Leave Your Mess at Home. And it draws upon the author's Nigerian American background. She was born in the U.S., but her parents immigrated from Nigeria. It talks about upward mobility, Black identity, and, you know, sort of what obligations do we have to our messed up families. But for me, it just kind of resembles a reality TV show.
All right. So tell me about the Lange family. What makes them kind of a train wreck?
Okay, so we got to get a family tree in order.
There's
a lot of characters. We got the mother and the father. They are immigrants to America. They immigrated from Nigeria. And we have four American-born young children and their various romantic interests and friends and associates. So it does get very complicated very quickly. But the instigating event, the thing that kind of starts the whole book off and gets the drama going, is the unexpected return of Sola, the eldest daughter. She's been estranged from the family for many years. Sola and her boyfriend had been living in Los Angeles, living kind of a glamorous social media influencer lifestyle. And the whole point of their brand in L.A. was they're living together as a biracial couple. And so when the boyfriend dumps Sola, she's now back in Chicago trying to reconnect with her family.
So what was the reason for the estrangement?
Well, we're going to get into that.
Oh, okay. So I'm guessing whatever that estrangement was when she comes back doesn't go well.
It does not go very well at all. There is an explosive Thanksgiving scene when Sola returns to the family dinner. Unbeknownst to most of the people at the dinner, she shows up, and here's Tolani Akinola talking about that scene.
And so when she arrives at Thanksgiving, it's like very clear to everyone, their mother especially, that, okay, this, you know, kind of ghost from our past is here at Thanksgiving. And I think Thanksgiving, very early on in my process, like I knew it was going to be the climactic scene of the novel. I have no idea why I decided to make it the climactic. I just knew that it was going to be the point at which everyone converged together. And, you know, I could guess why. I might have intuited that it was a good point.
So that's a classic scene, right? It always makes me think of, like, writers like to put ticking clocks to some extent in their books. And so if you have the anticipation of a Thanksgiving dinner coming up, like that tension is just throughout. So at this Thanksgiving dinner, did anyone like throw the mashed potatoes and gravy around? What happened?
Well, there was no mashed potatoes and gravy because this is a Nigerian American dinner.
Okay.
And so.
So what was served? Do you remember from the book?
Don't ask me that. I forgot.
Okay.
But it's the.
Minor detail. I was just curious.
All the Nigerian dishes. And so Sola storms out of this family home.
Okay. So I have to know, what about Sola made her the instigating incident?
Well, of the four siblings, Sola is the most strong-willed, the most brittle. So she has a personality that's naturally kind of explosive. And over the course of the novel, we figure out why she has this personality. And no surprise, it all goes back to childhood incidents and childhood resentments. And the Thanksgiving dinner reveals, for instance, that she didn't run away from the family as a teenager. Actually, she was kicked out. The mother kicked her out of the house because she was having sex.
Hmm.
Total crime, right? So she was the bad girl in the mom's eyes. And the mother is a very conservative African woman. And this revelation that the mother kicked out her own daughter is, you know, the first of many developments that sort of draw the plot along. But you asked, you know, sort of why she was estranged from the family. That's why she had either run away, according to one story, or was kicked out, according to the other.
So did that make you feel a certain way about the mother then?
Yes. So the mother does not emerge as a positive character in this book.
All right. Well, what about the other siblings? You mentioned there are four. You don't have to talk about them all, of course. We don't have to go through a roster. But are there any brothers and sisters with compelling narratives as well?
Yes. So there's Angela. Talani told me that the whole book actually started out as just the story of Angela and her issues and her problems. But over the course of developing that story, she was developing the other characters. And so it sort of turned into the novel that we have. So Angela's biggest problem is that she's the good girl. Well, that's not a problem, but she's the good girl, but she has, you know, she's a medical student, I believe, or she is soon to be graduate. So she has that sort of upwardly mobile immigrant daughter trajectory. But her biggest problem is that her best friend, a man, is about to be married, and he didn't tell Angela that he was getting married. And, oh, Angela is secretly in love with her best friend from childhood and sort of secretly, but not secretly, wanting this marriage to fail. And her mother, meanwhile, is trying to set her up with a good Nigerian young man, you know, a church-going, Yoruba-speaking young man who's going to be quote-unquote, better for her.
This is a story structure that's somewhat familiar.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of a classic immigrant story in some ways. But, you know, Angela's best friend is African-American. Mm-hmm. That's the one that she secretly, not secretly, loves. But this good boy that the mother is trying to set her up with is Nigerian-American. And so the mom and dad are throwing all kind of shade at black people in Chicago. And, you know, this is coming from black immigrants.
So there's questions here about black identity.
Certainly black identity. Not black identity, but black identities.
Right.
That's what Talani impressed upon me. And so, you know, I can sort of compare it to what I know in the LGBT community, is that is you have lots of different types of people. And it's called intra-minority stress. The idea that, you know, we are all experiencing stress from the outside, but then, you know, from within the group, we are all, you know, providing stress and, you know, shooting at each other, which I just think is completely insane. So here's what Talani had to say about that.
I feel like blackness in the U.S. is definitely not monolithic. And increasingly, as there is immigration from West Africa and also from the Caribbean, like the face of blackness is starting to change, or at least become more expansive in a sense in the U.S. And I think that at the time that I was writing the book, I hadn't seen a lot of literature that directly kind of addressed some of the like internecine conflict between these different black groups and like what it feels like as a child of immigrants to like arrive in a country where you are first and foremost like a racialized person, but your parents are not thinking of themselves or you in that way. And so there's sometimes a bit of distance or like a lack of preparation, I feel, in terms of like, in terms of what parents inculcate into their second generation children.
And I asked Talani, you know, did her parents give her the black talk? And she said no. But getting back to Angela and the characters here, Angela, she's really torn between her best friend, who she can't have because he's about to get married, and this mom-approved good Nigerian boy. You know, and he actually does, the good Nigerian boy actually does have some qualities and kind of steals her heart a little bit, but that's her dilemma.
But a little bit, but maybe not enough? Or is that a spoiler? It sounds like a spoiler.
That is a spoiler. I won't let you know who she goes with, but there are reasons to choose both.
So is that emerging as kind of like the central what will she do question at the heart of the novel? Like, where are we going?
For Angela, that's the central what will they do question. What I like about this book is that all these characters have what will they do.
Mm.
And then the whole book has a what will happen too. And that's the story that we'll get to in a bit.
Okay, so we get this love story. We get the Thanksgiving dinner. The mother seems to be kind of emerging and re-emerging here, at least in my mind. What can you tell us about her? Does she have any mess of her own?
She is the mess.
She is the mess.
She is the reason for this whole mess.
The original mess. Okay.
So, I mean, she like has this unrealistic expectations of what her children ought to be. Like she immigrated from Africa, and you know, we don't get much of her backstory, honestly. If I could put something in the book, I would like to know why did she turn out to be this way. But you know, like a lot of families, but immigrant families in particular, she wants her children to get the best jobs, to have the right partner, and she wants the daughters to cook traditional African food, and she wants the sons to give their sons traditional African names, and so she is the reason that this family is so messed up.
It occurred to me it's true that families often are estranged, like and the family members are often estranged from one another. I think especially with the mother and father, the mother, like part of the reason, you know, I think like obviously she does, you know, really unkind things and like says some really unkind things to her children. But I think that the extent that she's willing to go to like protect who she sees as valuable in that family and like protect the image that she has is, you know, like maybe a bit overbearing, but ultimately like someone who is well-intentioned.
Wow. Okay. So who she thinks is valuable in the family? Like, is there someone that she thinks is not valuable like that? Wow.
Well, she definitely plays favorites among her children. And the favorite is Ola, the son. I think he's a teacher.
Okay, so there's a Sola and an Ola.
Yes, so these are shorter African names for longer African names. And Talani explained that when I talked to her. She said that her name is actually Motolani Akinola. So, you know, Ola, his situation, he is about to be a dad, but he's having an affair. With someone. Another mess. So that's why we have this book called Leave Your Mess at Home. So will mom find out about this mess in Ola? Will the son have an African name? Will she find out that her fourth child, the one we haven't mentioned yet, the youngest, Karen, is a lesbian? So that's why I kind of read the book. You know, how will these messes resolve? Will mom find out about them? What will happen when they come out? So we're not getting one story. We're getting multiple stories. And it all comes together over a period of a few months. We're talking the whole book takes place in the fall and winter in Chicago.
I have been in Chicago in the winter, and it's not fun.
And no, it's very cold. So we got cold weather, and we got cold hearts in the book. And someone dies.
Whoa.
Yeah, I can't tell you who. But I will say someone dies, and this obviously shakes up all the stories and sort of sends them careening off in other directions. And like I said before, what I want to know is, will these directions all move in one? So will this death bring the family together, or will it split the family further apart. And so the reader really doesn't know until the end.
Man, all right. I mean, based on what you're saying, I'm so curious about this mother character and how she could possibly make sense to me as, you know, someone I can identify with as a parent. You know, so far, no. Like, if you're coming in to America with unrealistic expectations about whether or not your child is going to have sex, and if she does, then you're going to disown her or kick her out. I mean, that sounds wild to me. I don't know.
I didn't have that experience growing up. You know, my parents were loving. There was drama in our family as well, but I think it's an experience of many families.
Perhaps so. I'm not saying it's not. I'm saying I want to see how it plays out in this book. You know, how does Talani Akinola make it make sense for me? But anyway, what do you think gives this book the narrative edge?
Well, like I said at the beginning, it's like a reality TV show. It is sort of guilty pleasure reading a little bit.
Wait, guilty pleasure? Why?
Well, because it has all this mess.
Huh. It's melodramatic.
Yes. It's very... A lot of explosive arguments, a lot of deep talks, and the writing is not very flowery. And you know how I like the flowery words.
Certainly,
I love the flowery words. But in a complex book like this where you have lots of stories, you want it to be very straightforward. And so I give her props for that. But it's not very flowery on the language. And it brings up some larger social issues, like I said, with some of these characters. And I just sort of wanted to figure out, you know, how it would all turn up in the end. And, you know, if you can keep me going like that, I think it's a successful book.
All right. Well, the book is Leave Your Mess at Home by Talani Akinola. Orlando, thanks for telling me about it.
No problem. We'll do it again soon.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.